one, two, yeah, yeah, hey, hey.
Get up with Claire and Sam.
Get the catch up at hit.com.au
or download the Hit app.
This is The Catch Up on Riverina's MIA Hit 99.7.
And Sam, as much as I appreciate you getting me a plate and a knife this morning,
yep,
and all the rest of it, I'm still throwing you under the bus.
All right.
Just before we finished yesterday, I said to you, we're going to be talking about your sexy time life.
Sexy time life?
Yeah, I've decided to change the wording because it's probably more PG.
Not by much. I think we know what we're talking about.
We've added a Y, you know, let's be honest. But
so you've gone from parading me to now drilling me.
Pretty much.
Don't take that as a sexual innuendo either.
A new study's coming out. Right. Yep. And we love a good study.
We do.
This study is saying that the number of American, doesn't make a difference, you know, we'll count you as American, adults are not having as much sexy time as previous.
Not as many adults?
Yeah, but specifically men.
They're not so under 30, they're not having as much sexy time as they used to.
Under 30 are having a lot less. So the analysis they've done right has found that since 2008, the percentage of men under 30 reporting that they've had no sexy time has nearly tripled to 28%. 28% of men haven't had any.
Whoa.
Where
we're talking like in a year.
Well,
in a
it doesn't quite explain, but I would say that it would be like more you haven't had in a while.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
You're just not having as much.
Yeah.
Compared to an 8% increase reported by women in that same age bracket, which is interesting, because does that mean they're sleeping with men that are older than 30?
True.
Or does that just mean that they're sleeping with each other? Or is there like one guy that's just like really killing it at the moment?
That's a good point.
So I thought I'd find out from the single person
in
the room.
No.
How's your sexy time
life? No.
Do you reckon you'd join these men with a 30% decrease?
Oh, did my mic just turn off?
Sam.
I can't talk. Oh, no, mic's back on. Claire, I think the best time to talk about this is at 9:01.
Oh, is it now?
We're off air.
I just realized.
6:10 in the morning, mate. Are you serious?
We're talking the past year. Do you reckon your sexy time life has dropped in the past year, Sam? You've been here for a year now. It's a year and a day. I love how you're. So he's silently nodding, but won't say anything into the microphone.
It has dropped, yes. I'll admit that.
Do you reckon by about 30%? Or do you reckon it's more?
Probably double that, probably 60. Well, I'm about quality, not quantity. So I'm not going just to go around and, you know.
So you're not the man that's getting the extra 8%
of
girls.
No, I'm not. That guy is killing it. And I might be slightly jealous.
Black Eyed Peas, I got a feeling on
is
hit 99.7. Oh,
I'm
Sam.
Warm.
Maybe we just need to find you a girl.
No, I'm happy with how everything's working out. I really am.
This is.
Are we ready?
The Catch Up
with Claire and Sam.
I want to talk to you about, once again, the craze that was stickies.
Stickies. Coles stickies. Yeah. Now these took the world by storm.
Oh, these were crazy. So basically, they were pieces of plastic that had like a little sticky bottom that you could like stick to things.
Oh, is that how? I never knew how the word stickies came into it.
I thought that they were like a gross goopy thing, but no, it's actually the bases are like suction cap.
Yeah.
Basically,
stickies fans are listening right now going, guys, you don't know what you're talking about.
Stickies are, if you don't know, a little toy that you could get at Coles if you spent $30 or more. You had to collect them all.
So last time it was what called Coles Collectibles.
Coles Mini Shop.
Coles Mini Shop.
That was
and
the
now
last one.
Moved on to stickies.
Yeah, and these are supposed to be, they're all fruits and veg, trying to promote healthy eating for kids.
Mm,
don't know how much of that it does.
Don't actually eat these stickies because they will kill.
Well, they're plastic, so, I mean.
But you could choke on them.
Okay.
See you later.
Let's move on. but apparently there's a few rare ones, right, that you can get on eBay. We have spoken about Billy the Banana, who's the golden banana that's worth, I think, $50,000
one of
them sold. It
was once worth $50,000, and now they're all around 10 grand-ish?
Five grand. To 10 grand, depending on where you're looking.
Because there's only about 50 of them out there.
100. Total of 100. That's all that Coles made, Australia-wide. Now, all of them have pretty much gone on eBay.
I hate that we are valuing these things.
I know.
It is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. The fact that people have this kind of money to throw around as well makes no sense. But there's also a few others. There's Brody Broccoli, which is a crystal version, and a glowing version of Carlo Cucumber. They're both quite rare as well, but they're not selling for as much.
Why is Billy Banana so much?
Well, because he's golden-coloured, I guess, and he also came with a $100 voucher for Coles.
Oh.
Why you'd spend $10,000 for a $100 voucher, I'm not quite sure, but whatever.
Right. Could be the same people in charge of the budget.
A lot of people have been going on eBay, having a look.
Yeah.
A few people have been purchasing, apparently. Mm. But one person who purchased was a kid.
Yes.
Who may or may not have done this without his parents' knowledge.
This poor, poor boy. He would have got an absolute hiding. Now, he's a kid out of Adelaide, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And Today Tonight actually reported that he's autistic.
Okay.
And he decided to go on his mum's iPad, pretty much, or laptop,
mm-hmm.
and purchase this Coles stickies for how much?
$10,000.
$10,000. Now, this is also a lesson in security. If all your credit card details are already in eBay and there's no need to put in a password, maybe you should strengthen that, especially when you've got kids.
Well, this is the other thing, right, is with eBay, it's up to the seller to start off with as to whether you get your money back for things. Ah. So obviously she saw this confirmation email that she'd bought a $10,000 sticky and she's like, hang on, what?
No.
She contacted the seller on eBay and they said, nah, not doing a refund.
Fair enough.
Too bad.
You just got $10,000 for a piece of plastic.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
but eBay did reach out later and said that she was fully reimbursed for the amount.
Well, this makes me also question PayPal because she said that PayPal also said it's up to the seller. So they couldn't do anything.
Really?
Yet PayPal offers buyer protection.
Generally, PayPal's more successful than eBay itself.
Absolutely. And it wasn't until the media got involved. This is a good side of the media.
Yeah.
It wasn't until the media got involved
that something actually happened.
That change could happen and she got refunded.
But Sam, I know this is not the first time something like this has happened.
Yeah, true.
I've heard about this before, but I want to see if there's anyone in the Riverina.
Ooh.
13, 12, 16. Give us a call if you're a parent of a child who's used your credit card.
Yes. When has your kid used your credit card without you knowing?
13, 12, 16 is the number. And it can be something little, something big. We want to hear your stories.
Just anything when they've taken control.
This is The Catch Up with Claire and Sam.
And Shelley's giving us a call. Shelley, what has your kid done?
My two-year-old daughter got onto our pad with that had played games on it and she bought herself a plasticine molding set.
How much did that set you back?
It was only like $15.
Okay.
But we didn't even know. We didn't, confirmation emails, whatever. Didn't check our emails. Or get 10 emails a day so we can order them all. And all of a sudden, this like plasticine molding set rocked up. And she's like, yay.
Oh, she knew exactly
That's
what
hilarious.
Was going on.
Did she tell you when it rocked up or did you have to try and figure it out?
Yeah, we were sort of like, what's this? And went and asked her, and she's like, oh, yeah, mine. She
didn't
talk very much. She was only like
2.5.
I was like, what's mine?
Shelly. As bad as it is that she's buying stuff from your phone, she's a very talented 2.5-year-old.
It takes me ages.
So Yeah, we were so impressed. We weren't even mad. We were like, there you go. You deserve that. Well done.
It takes me ages to figure out half the time, like, where the press, like, pay now button is and putting in your details and, geez.
It's more adult-proof than child-proof by the sounds of things.
I'm very slow, so she's picking up the technology game very quickly.
Right. Well, Shelly, she's going to have a very successful life.
And only $15, so it's not as bad as some of the others out there, at least.
Yeah, she was thinking of you at the time.
I was glad it was very, very cheap. It wasn't a $10,000 purchase, so that's okay.
Then maybe you wouldn't be as proud.
No.
Thanks for your call this morning, Shelley.
Yeah,
thanks.
Wait.
See ya.
There we go. $15 is a bit better than $10,000.
Hey, I know, though, one of Sam's family members, their grandson, so I think it's Sam's grandma, basically.
Yep.
She takes care of a grandson, and he started buying stuff on, I think it was Xbox or, like, one of the services like that.
Yeah, okay. Some gaming console.
Yeah, she might have given him, like, credit card details to buy one game or something, and it saves automatically. And I don't think she realised. And he started buying all these in-game expenses.
No.
She got this massive bill, yeah.
Are you saying this is your husband?
Yeah, husband's grandma.
Wow.
Yeah. It can happen to anyone. It's so super simple to happen. And not just that, but like you may not know that your kids have even done it, especially through the Xbox, because it saves your credit card details.
And then often on those type of things is a subscription.
Yes.
So there's an auto renewal process that you don't even know you've signed up for.
No.
That would be a killer.
Yeah.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up.
With Claire and Sam.
Cheese. It's one of my favourite things to eat. We all know this.
Mm-hmm.
I do love a bit of cheese, a little bit of salami, all the stuff I can't currently have while pregnant.
True.
I have found cheeses that I can have, which is great, but I'm still really missing my brie and camembert.
So can you have just like cheddar?
I can have Parmesan. I can have, cheddar cheese. I can have all the hard cheeses that aren't, like, using mold and stuff. I don't know. Anyway, I have found an article about Parmesan cheese that I think is the best thing in the world.
It's made you salivate, hasn't it?
Absolutely. So there's a research that was done over in, I think it was like Berlin or Bergedorf. I don't know where
that
is.
To be honest, these names are quite hard to pronounce and geography's not our strong point. So just
Switzerland was where it was.
Oh, there we go. Good.
So basically students from this University of Arts teamed up with a local cheesemaker to try something a little different with their cheeses. So this cheesemaker makes specifically Parmesan.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically, like the students at this school said, hey, can we see what happens when we put play music to the cheese? Does it make a difference? Cheesemaker's all for it. He's like, yeah, let's do it. So for 6 months or about that, they let these cheese wheels that they'd created sit quietly on their own with a speaker placed underneath them.
You just said quietly.
Well, as in like,
speakers there.
As in like they didn't like interact with each other. They didn't mix with each other sound wise.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Now there were five different cheeses and each cheese had a different music that it was listening to for 6 whole months. 24/7.
Same setup, same cheese, but just different music.
Exactly. So here's some of the music that they played, right? They had ambient, which is kind of like
cinematic.
Yeah, something like that. They had classical.
Jeez.
Bit of Wolfgang. They had techno.
Oh, now we're talking. Get you up and about on your Wednesday.
Bit of rock.
Soft rock.
Led Zeppelin.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then they had a bit of hip hop. I don't really mind if it's
over yet, because the job of the selectors is to wake up. Who is this?
A Tribe Called Quest.
Oh, yeah. Big name.
So they put all five of these different sounds into separate cheese places.
Areas.
And,
so all the same temperatures and stuff?
Same temperature. Everything was the exact same. The only difference was they were listening to different music.
That was the... Oh, what do you call that in science? Do you remember science? Where everything's one thing, all the same, and then you've got one changing factor.
Oh.
Oh, no.
13, 12, 16, if you know the scientific name of things.
Yes.
But either way, they ripen for 6 months, then they were put to the test. And it turns out sound does actually have an effect on the taste of your cheese. Legit.
What do you mean?
How
did that change?
Basically, they couldn't discern, they could discern clear differences, not only in laboratory analysis, but also in terms of taste. So cheeses that were played the hip-hop music, for instance, right, which was this Tribe Called Quest one.
Yeah.
They were described as slightly sweet.
So better or worse? Well, or just sweet?
It's more that it was a sweeter Parmesan than anything else. And apparently it's quite fascinating for a lot of chefs because, you know, this isn't something they've done before. The project's made international headlines and they didn't expect to get so much media response or the fact of any of this happening.
No.
But Sam.
What?
My thing is, right, is that I really, really want to see them try it with some better songs.
Really?
Yeah, maybe we should do it. Oh, maybe it has to be at the very beginning stages of ripening though. Does anyone make Parmesan? 13, 12, 16. We are in an Italian town.
We could just try any cheese, really.
I want to try this because, okay, these would be my choices, right? Ambient can just be silence. Like, whatever. Who cares? It
can be the trucks driving past. Yeah. Road trains.
Yeah, exactly. Classical. It's like
rain. Oi!
Bit of Alanis Morissette, right? Ironic.
Yep.
For your techno.
Oh, Darude.
Woo! So much better than what they had. That wasn't techno. What are they talking about? For your rock. Nickelback.
Chose Nickelback.
That compared to
Led Zeppelin. Don't even put them in the same boat.
There's no rock in that.
But I'd rather listen to that than Nickelback.
My favourite, right, would have to be what I've chosen for the winner, which was hip hop.
Okay.
You like the hip hop?
Yeah.
This is better.
Fitty.
Think of the dulcet tones and flavours you'd get with that one.
The cheese would grow legs and start dancing.
Exactly. Okay, we're going to try this, seriously.
Oh, I'm glad we played the PG version of that song.
Yes, we definitely did. But yeah, so 13, 12, 16, if you make Parmesan, we want to jump on board and help.
We're going to make this as scientific as they did.
Common
denominator, I think it was the word I was looking for.
Okay, good to know. We'll see how we go. Let's go!
Trending now at hits.com.au.
Claire, the federal budget came out overnight.
Yes, it did.
Always exciting stuff.
Oh, of course.
Big night for us Pollies. They'll be on the piss right now, I reckon.
Oh, yeah.
Celebrating? No, they won't. They'll be facing the media for a lot of questioning because there's a lot of winners and a lot of losers. We're going to be speaking to a chartered accountant just after 8 this morning. So if you want to a more simplified and understandable version from an expert. Make sure you join us after 8. But a couple of the winners are for middle income earners. So if you're earning between 48 grand and 90 grand a year, you get a tax cut of $550.
Okay. Where, so between
where are we
what?
Even in that?
What is it?
48 to 90,000 a year.
I don't actually think we're even in between that.
We're not even up there.
No tax cut for us.
But there are still tax cuts if you're earning under 48 grand. It's just not as much as $550.
Okay, hang on. This is my first problem. Why is it people who earn less like us get taxed even more? How does that
work? We don't get taxed more, but we're getting less of a cut.
Yeah, exactly. We're getting taxed more.
We're not getting taxed more technically than a 48 plus a year.
No, I know, but still we don't get as much of a discount as they do.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah, exactly right. So that's what I'm saying. Winners here are middle income earners.
Not us.
Losers here are high or low income earners. Commuters, so the government's going to throw $15 billion bucks at new road and rail projects, which is good for probably most of the city areas and stuff.
Huh,
hopefully,
okay.
hopefully get some road stuff out here.
Yeah.
Small businesses, your tax rates will be going down, which is going to help about 970,000 companies in Australia, which is really good.
Sorry.
5 million workers in that jurisdiction.
Just back on that road stuff as well, there has been for regional areas, they've guaranteed road money for infrastructure and road money as well.
Beautiful, beautiful. And one thing that's key here is for struggling farmers. Now, the budget and the federal government, they've thrown a lot of help for Queensland who have been affected by the floods.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But for us here with the drought, they've got safeguards now in place to help against future floods and, of course, drought. So the government's going to spend up to almost $4 billion to create emergency response funds.
Yeah.
Which will provide, obviously, a stable, you know, source of money when these natural disasters hit.
It's good that they at least have some sort of backup. They've got an idea of, okay, we know this has happened. Let's put something in place for next time.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Now, another winner, right, is cashed up retirees. I think
what?
This is suiting too many older pollies who are about to retire.
Yeah.
And they're like, how about we help ourselves out? They've got some perks involving being able to put money into super for longer, even if they're not working.
I do know they added a few things in to try and get extra votes over the line. I'm wondering if this is one of those things.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm.
And, yeah, right, more right-wingy type people. A couple of losers, as I said, high-income earners. Not really low-income earners, but more high. Big businesses, people on the dole. So recipients of NewStart, the welfare payment for job seekers, of course, weren't expecting to come out on top this budget. So the payment hasn't been increased for more than decades, and it's not going to receive a boost at all.
Okay.
So that's bad news for people on the dole.
Yeah.
And first home buyers for the second year in a row now. Unfortunately, nothing in the budget for first home buyers. Still struggling to buy homes. Yes.
Well, I mean, the price has gone down on house buying in a lot of places, so maybe they're just thinking, well, we'll leave it at that.
Smaller deposit because of the house prices. Maybe, yes, but it's not easy at all. It's still a tough market, even though it is, on the way down. For more Trending Now news, make sure you head to hit.com.au. But as I said before, we are going to be speaking more about the budget after 8 with a chartered accountant to explain
in a lot more detail than we can.
Yeah, what's important for our area?
Yeah.
I reckon we did a pretty good job.
I think so.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch-Up.
With Claire and Sam.
We want to know, who have you banned from your wedding and why? Because it's alleged, not completely confirmed by the actual people themselves, but it's alleged that Tom Cruise has actually banned his ex-wife, Nicole Kidman, from their son's wedding.
Mm.
Now, they got separated, back 2001, I think? It was years ago.
Yeah.
Probably 18 years ago. And Tom retained custody of the kids. Now, I'm not going to judge Scientology, but I don't believe in it. And Tom Cruise does. He's probably the biggest, highest profile person in the church. And so are his two kids. His two kids decided to stay with Tom Cruise, get involved in the church. And they see Nicole Kidman as a very much of an outsider because she didn't believe in the values. And now her own son is getting married and she has been banned from attending the wedding.
Jeez.
Now, the son, his name's Connor Cruz. I don't know anything about them. I think they're both adopted.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Both adopted kids.
Yeah, I think so.
His name is Connor. He's 24 and he's getting married. And it's just pretty heavy that no matter what happens in a relationship, I feel like you should still, especially family, especially your parents, you should still be able to go to the wedding if you technically haven't done anything wrong by that person individually.
Yeah, but when it comes to religion, and I know it's not just Scientology, but certain religions will exile people based on certain things. And if you're exiled, once again, depending on the religion, depends on how that exile works, you generally can't see that person, though, again.
But Nicole Kidman's such a beautiful person.
Yeah.
It's their loss, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. Their loss.
And I'm sure there's bigger reasons why, yeah, of course, religion's a big one in this circumstance, but I'm sure there's a lot of reasons why people do get banned from weddings
for
various reasons. So that's why we want to know on 13, 12, 16. We'd love to hear your story about who's been banned from your wedding and why.
Yep.
Could be something simple, just, you know, got in a fight with my mum.
Mm.
Or could be something a bit gnarlier than that. We'd love to hear your stories. Hit us up.
13, 12, 16 is the number.
This is The Catch Up with Claire and Sam.
13, 12, 16. Who did you ban from your wedding and why? We've got Ben from Griffith on the phone this morning. Ben, who and why?
My fiance's dad.
Ooh. Oh, that's close to home.
Bit of a Meghan Markle situation.
Oh.
Yeah, he's a bit of a dropkick. So. He hasn't been there. He's messed up a lot of his kids' lives, and we just don't want any bar of him.
So that was both of your calls, or was it you kind of taking a stand and going, nah, he's not coming?
Oh, look.
Is that love between your fiancé?
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't make that decision for her. That's got to be her decision. But it was hers, and I back her 100%.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
That's sweet, I guess, in a way. Like, the fact that you are there to back her, and it shows the marriage is going to last, I think.
Oh, yeah. Did it last? Are you still together? Because you said fiancé. Okay, all right. Good. So the wedding's happened?
Yes.
All right. Well, congratulations to you two. We hope you have a very happy marriage.
Was it a successful day without him?
It was an amazing day.
That's all that matters.
We're going to put you on the spot here. Mm-hmm. Who walked your partner down the aisle?
Her aunt.
Oh, that's nice.
Very good.
That's really nice. Awesome. Thanks for your call.
No worries.
See you later.
Cheers, Ben. Oh, that would be hard. Not having your dad walk you down the aisle because of their history.
My dad didn't walk me down the aisle. See, I've got a dad and a stepdad, right? Mm. And neither they don't talk. And there's a bit of family drama there. So rather than choosing a side, I just said to them both, neither of you walking me down the aisle.
Wow. So who walked you down the aisle?
My brother. My little
really?
Brother. Yeah.
Did he walk in a straight line?
He did. He was very nervous.
I'm not surprised.
He walked me down the aisle. It was really sweet. We also technically banned someone from our wedding as well.
Ooh. This is juicy.
Sam had a bit of a fight, I guess, with one of his siblings before the wedding, and they weren't going to come anymore.
Mm.
And Sam basically put his foot down and said, right, whatever, don't come.
Don't come. I'm not worrying about all this. Joke.
No, yeah. Exactly. And then they said, oh, I'm really sorry. Like, let's make it up. We don't want it to be as it is. And they contacted me and were like, you know, I'm really sorry. And I said, look, it's not my choice.
Wait, they went around to you instead of...
Oh, no. They did speak to Sam as well.
Okay, cool.
But then they spoke to me and apologized to me too. And I just said, look, I've got no issue, but it's not my choice as to whether you come or not. You're not my sibling.
Other side of the family.
Yeah. Yep. And anyway, look, it all got resolved. She did come in the end. Good. Yes.
And she was the most drunk person there.
No, she wasn't actually.
Oh, okay,
all right. No, I think that that takes the cake with one of my other radio announcer friends.
Really?
Yeah, I decided to get him up to do a speech.
Ooh.
Big
didn't
mistake.
Go down. No, gee,
I don't even know what he said, but I don't think he even knew what he said. So
love it. Hey, I got one Facebook comment here. We put up the question, who did you ban from your wedding and why? Putting Felicity Hayes under the bus here. Because Tennille O'Grady said, Felicity Hayes, you're on my ban list. Budget doesn't cover for 47th favourite cousin.
Oh, 47th? How many cousins do you have?
47.
Okay.
Right now.
Radio. The most popular entertainment show.
Gotta get.
Tick-tock. Breakdown. Dean McCarthy, live from LA with Claire and Sam.
Check this.
Go!
Oh, yeah, the sexy man joins us again. Morning, Dino.
Morning, Dean.
Hello, guys. Good morning, everyone. Hello.
Now, Dino, let's start off by talking about royalty this morning. Meghan and Harry, they've done something coupley, haven't they?
Oh, my goodness. This is when you know you're an official couple. The two of them have started their own couple's Instagram account.
Dean.
It's called Sussex Royal. You can go on and follow them. They'll be posting things together about their, you know, adventures as a royal couple. It's not like a typical... It's not like they won't be doing selfies in the Bahamas or
it'll be more royal.
Anything. It won't be that. It'll be more royal related, absolutely. So stay tuned. I'm here for it.
Dean, the attention the attention grabbing headline should be Meghan and Harry have sex in their Instagram username.
Yeah, exactly.
Sussex Royal.
Who are you?
Sussex.
Okay, I think we get it, Sam. Moving on. Hey, Dino, 50 Cent has also recently sold one of his houses. Do we know how much he sold it for?
We do. He sold a house for $3 million, which is 15 million less than he originally listed.
Oh, wow.
It was $18 million, 25 bedrooms, a casino, nine kitchens.
We thought our housing market was bad.
Yeah, is that, was he just trying to get rid of it, or the housing market is bad over there?
He's decided to sell it, and that he will actually be donating the money to his charity called Q Unity, and they will be actually giving that money to people who are from like lower income areas.
Oh,
someone
awesome.
Said to me earlier, why didn't you just give the house to all the people, 25 rooms, because it housed 25 people? Fair point.
You can't do good without some backlash.
25 people versus however many people, 3 million will help.
$3 million.
Yep, totally.
Oh, well, I mean, as we all know, you try to do good and there's going to be some haters out there. So good on 50 Cent for doing that. I know he's a badass gangster, rapper. Like, and he's doing all this stuff for charity. We should focus on that. Good man.
Awesome.
How's your donations to charity going, Dean?
I have a couple of sponsors
here. Oh, there you go.
Good on you.
Putting you on the spot there, dude.
No. And he hit me back perfectly. Good on you.
How's your sponsorships and your donations going, Sam?
Non-existent. Non-existent.
Dino, thank you very much for joining us this morning, and we'll catch up with you again tomorrow morning after 7:30 for all the latest goss.
Thanks, Dane.
Bye, guys.
See you, Dino. This is Youngblood, Halsey, Travis Barker, 11 minutes.
Sounds like Dean's on a boat. Did you get there with the wind and the gushing?
This is The Catch-Up
with Claire and Sam.
Claire, of course, the federal budget came out overnight and there's a lot of winners and losers and there's a lot of, you know, jargon in there.
There's a lot of stuff for the average person that it's just a little bit hard to understand.
Which is you and I and I don't want to say it, but a lot of our audience.
Yes.
Let's be real. And to tell us, to dissect this a bit more and tell us a bit more about what's going on is Michael Croker. Now, he's a chartered accountant from Chartered Accountants Australia and New Zealand, and he joins us on the phone this morning. Thanks, Michael, for joining us morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Michael, can you give us a brief summary of what's come out in the latest federal budget and maybe some winners and losers, especially for rural areas like ourselves?
Well, it's a vote for me budget. The coalition's trying to present its credentials as a sound economic manager and saying that it can return to surplus without increasing taxes. So there's some personal tax cuts, which will benefit particularly people in earning between $48,000 and $90,000.
Yep. So that's $48,000 to $90,000. And what about for farmers? What about rural areas where, especially in this area, we've been affected by drought?
Well, there's a bit of support for drought relief and flood relief.
Okay.
The big one, of course, is North Queensland, where a lot of the grants are going to be treated as tax-exempt income.
Oh, good.
So that's good news. Yeah. I think rural communities mainly benefit, though, through a really large infrastructure spend, which is designed to, you know, really improve rural infrastructure, roads, etc.
Yeah, good.
So that hopefully creates more jobs and opportunities for people living in rural and regional Australia.
Absolutely.
I got two more questions for you, Michael. Very simply, how many pages was this budget?
Oh, well, it's about three or four volumes of pretty dense material.
Jeez.
And there's some easy to understand guides, though. Your listeners might want to go onto the website and just download some of the easy to read information.
Okay.
It's www.budget.gov.au.
Doing it now.
There's an easy calculator there, so anyone listening today can go to that website and type in their expected taxable income.
Oh,
and,
awesome.
The government's got a little calculator there, so you can actually see what you might be getting back in terms of a bigger tax refund.
And last question. We've been drilled about this word surplus. For anyone out there who doesn't understand what the surplus word means, it's their buzzword of the federal budget. What does that mean for going into surplus? And did we do it? Will we do it with this budget?
Well, a surplus simply means the government's receiving more than it's spending on a year by year basis. So we've got a promised surplus of $7.1 billion next financial year. That's the 2019/2020 year.
Mm-hmm.
And the bigger issue, I guess, for young listeners is whether they're inheriting a lot of debt from us older Australians. And the government's hoping like hell that they'll have the debt under control by 2029. So it's a bit of a, trust us type government.
Mm.
here. We're hoping they'll get us back to surplus as forecast next year, and we're hoping that that debt mountain will be paid down so that future generations don't have that burden by 2029.
And, of course, this could all change if they go out of power in the next election, which is next month. Chartered Accountants, Australia, New Zealand, Michael Croker, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for explaining so much.
It's a pleasure.
And why not? 13, 12, 16, Claire.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the budget? We'd love to know, is it going to help you or is it going to hinder you? 13, 12, 16, what are your thoughts on the budget?
This is The Catch-Up with Claire and Sam.
Stu's given us a call this morning. Stu, what are your thoughts?
I hope it helps everyone. I really do.
Do you reckon, like, from what you've seen so far and heard about so far, do you reckon it's going to help?
Look, I can't. I'm a farmer.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know if it's going to help us. I hope it does.
Yeah.
But we're in it, you know, to scratch everyone's back, and if they can scratch ours, we can scratch theirs. You know what I mean?
Just a whole lot of back scratching, mate. I completely agree with you. And it does seem like there are some positives with the farmers in terms of the relief fund
also,
for disaster.
It is, but like I said, we are doing it tough at the moment with the water situation.
Yeah.
You know, with the drought and everything else, you know, I feel sorry for the farmers as well, for myself as well.
Yeah.
And we are struggling at the moment.
Do you think this budget will help you in that sense, like especially with the water around this area?
Mm.
If we had water, we'd be okay.
Yeah.
So I reckon you know, they're saying farmers win out in this budget, but maybe it seems like it's a more reactive thing. There's the drought relief fund, but there's no proactive funding going towards sorting out the water now.
Not that we know of just yet, but yeah. I mean, with the federal elections coming up and everything else, it's going to be a whole heap of promises thrown around. So it'll be interesting to see if this budget goes through and what those promises are and if they continue on after.
Yeah, and I mean, you know,
well, everyone says, okay, we promise you this, we promise you that. Do you ever see it happen?
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. And at least our new state member, Helen Dalton, she has promised some big things with the Murray-Darling Basin Plan. So, promises.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed things work out, mate. Yeah. But, yeah, as you said, we don't know until it happens. And if it ever happens. Stu, thanks for your call this morning, mate. We'll chat to you next time.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
See ya. Hey, now I did just quickly look. So the ABC is a great website for all this stuff as well. abc.net.au, they've got like the winners and losers.
Yep.
So in their response, they've said that farmers were neutral in this budget.
Yeah, okay.
And it does say that agricultural visa and comprehensive national drought policy topped the list of demands from the peak bodies of like farming and National Farmers Fed, but neither of those appear in this year's budget. Now, I don't know if that means anything.
What do you mean? It means a lot.
Well, I mean, in the sense of like, I don't know if that means that they can't do anything at all or if they can still find some funding later down the track. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a bit confusing.
I have to get Michael back on.
Want more Claire and Sam? Download the Hit app. This is the show. Want more access to exclusive prizes? Become a VIP at hit.com.au.